RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Time to welcome back a friend of the show. I think it's fair to say now. I think we've talked enough and shared so many ideas and information with Dr. Guy Hatchard that, yeah, he's a friend of the show in RCR. And Guy is back on to talk about some of the things he's been writing about on the HatchardReport.com, and we'll go into those in just a few moments. Guy, welcome back. Nice to have you again.
It's great to be here, Paul.
Okay. Sorry, but I'm going to have to ask you reaction to, well, a momentous developments out of Pennsylvania in the weekend. It's the Trump thing, obviously. Reaction to that.
Well, you know, Trump has a non-interventionist outlook. And what we're going to be talking about today is about America interfering in our medical policy and research. And if there's one thing I like about Trump, it's that non-interventionist outlook. There's not necessary for America to put its fingers into everybody's affairs, their economic, their social affairs all over the world.
Yeah. It's not the American people as such, though, is it? It's something different.
Well, you get the government you deserve. I mean, look, what's extraordinary about the American election is, you know, two very old men standing for election. The men themselves is not the issue here. It's the fact that hundreds of millions of people voted to nominate them. That's kind of inexplicable to me.
Point taken. All right. Like I say, quite a bit to cover. I think it's worth noting here for us and listeners that in early July, as part of its three-month action plan, the government said it would, and this is a quote, take cabinet decisions on new regulations to remove the ban on GE and enable the safe use of gene technology in agriculture, health, science, and other sectors. It's understood we could see this legislation introduced as early as October and deregulation by 2025 next year. I think that's a quote from you, Guy, is it?
It's a quote from an announcement that the government has made.
Oh, so that's them talking almost in the first person.
Yes. And, this is a big issue. They promised another 400 million and, 200 million already spent and another 70 million in the mRNA sector. So, we're pushing $1 billion here being given to a nascent biotechnology industry where there is no proof of concept at this stage. And, people have to understand what deregulation means. Deregulation is frightening. I worked in the biotech industry over there, and really anything goes. And that's frightening. You know how biohackers over there in America, where you can buy deadly pathogens, you can, people are injecting themselves with all kinds of things and experimenting and all this available mail order. So deregulation, what I'm seeing here in New Zealand is everybody is holding out their hand to the government now and expecting that they'll be able to do whatever they want in agriculture, in human health. And Jennifer Doudna is the inventor of this CRISPR technology, gene editing technology, and she recounts a very interesting phenomenon. She was she fell asleep and fell into a dream. And in that dream, she met Hitler. And Hitler asked her, he said, I'm very interested in this gene editing phenomenon. He said, can you tell me more about it? And he sat there and took notes. And she recounted that for months afterwards, she had difficulty. It was so frightening that she had difficulty sleeping. But because there are real risks involved in editing genes, they could spread without limit and go through the generations. But then what happens is that these biotechnologists all get together, they're all trained, they're all looking for going ahead, and they talk to one another and their enthusiasm builds. And now she's saying, the sky's the limit. This is bound to happen. We're bound to be changing the human race. And this is the kind of momentum of biotechnology that the government here has decided, well, we're just going to give it free rein.
Yeah, presumably it's the Honourable Judith Collins that's kind of signed all this off, or is the, the portal at government level for this.
There's a lot of people involved in this, yes.
Yeah, but they have been persuaded, they have been convinced.
Well, people get on a moving train, don't they? They saw what happened in the pandemic, and lots of people made lots of money, and people love to make lots of money. And the people who are on board with this are Fonterra, Ravensdown, Silverfern Farms, Rabobank, ASB, ANZ, Synlait. You know, a lot of people in a lot of sectors, and of course all the universities, because they're looking for grant money here, and they have these big biotech departments they want to support. But, you know, I keep asking the question because I've worked in the industry over the last 50 years, who has actually benefited from biotechnology as far as health is concerned and as far as animal health is concerned?
And the answer is?
Who? You tell me, because yeah. I can't find people who've really particularly benefited from biotechnology.
Wouldn't that be the first question you ask?
Well, it should be, shouldn't you? If you're a politician, I note that New Zealand has slipped down the international rankings of governments that are influenced by lobbying. We're now sort of fourth from the bottom in the OECD, which means our government is very susceptible to people coming up in these technocratic areas and saying, really, you ought to be doing this. And somehow or other, they're not doing their due diligence. They're saying, yeah, of course we'll do it. And that's the level all this is going on, because it's all a sort of a PR dream that we're seeing. And everybody feeding, it's a feeding frenzy.
Well, it feels like a religion, actually, to me, like some kind of alternative worship idea, where you're kind of wanting to take on the role of some God figure, you know, that we can change the genetics, we can, of animals, of humans, we can redesign things.
Yeah, well, Professor John Fraser, of Dean of the Faculty of Medical and Health Sciences at University of Auckland, saying, and this is the kind of preposterous statement that comes out of these people, quote, the potential is that you can put a gene for anything inside our cells, anything, and the cells become bioreactors. One really wonders what the scope of experimentation that they're envisioning will happen under this deregulation. And I wonder whether any pathogens might escape from any laboratories. Well, no, that couldn't possibly happen, could it, Paul?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Never happened before, has it?
No. Well, and our history with this, I mean, one of the main thrusts of this is developing mRNA vaccines for animals that supposedly are going to reduce their methane emissions.
Why would they even push it, Guy? I mean, it is the hardest sell in the world. People are running a mile from this. You might as well substitute the word evil for it now in many people's minds, and you keep pushing it. Why do they keep pushing it?
Well, it's a sort of, you have to realize that all this is patented technology. And you look at deregulated America, and the farmers are now in the pockets of these giant seed companies, which have been taken over by the pharmaceutical industry. And they can't get out of it. They're locked into it now. And what we have here is patented technology that American companies would like us, our agricultural system, which is a big system in the world, you know, especially our dairy system, they would like us also to be locked into their patented technology. And, you know, where is this money going to? Well, AgriZero, who has already had hundreds of millions of dollars from the government, they've actually invested in a Bill Gates startup company on methane production. We are giving money to Bill Gates. Goodness, can you believe it?
No, yeah, I mean, yes.
Yes. And the real issue here is safety. And this is what astounds me, that with all the publication of papers that is going on at the moment, raising questions about mRNA technology and its safety, why are we suddenly thinking it's the best thing since white bread?
Well, I'm not. You're not. No, there are plenty of people who don't, but we don't count. This is the thing.
I mean, these are scientific papers. I mean, here's one published a few weeks ago. Repeated inoculation with messenger RNA vaccines elicits immunoglobulin, that's IgG4 antibody production, which allows the growth of some types of cancer by blocking the activation of immune cells. Well, that's a quote from a scientist.
I reckon that's BS.
Here's another one, paper coming out that says that it's just come out in Nature. It says that IgG4 increases the levels, that COVID vaccination increases the level of IgG4. So IgG4 is suspected to cause cancer. It has been found that in young children, IgG4 following vaccination increases dramatically. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to put those two together and ask questions about the safety.
That was my point about sort of going off about why would you promote mRNA as a vaccine platform after all of this? You know, the lack of self-awareness is out in space, you know?
Yeah. And it's all getting going. So many people have been trained in biotechnology. And so much has been promised, but so little has been realized. And it's dogged by safety. You know, every year they hide the safety issues and they issue new glossy brochures saying, oh, we're going to cure cancer. They've been saying this for decades. And the problem is, of course, that it doesn't cure cancer, it causes it.
Yeah, great, isn't it? Okay, so this is referendum level stuff, I think. If you're going to impose this or seek to impose it, you have to give the ultimate pushback opportunity. That has to happen, surely. That has to happen.
I can tell you just a personal story. I was involved in a project many years ago in the UK where I was looking for land for a university. They often build new universities there. And I looked at an American airbase. And in the course of that, I went inside a nuclear silo and I got an instant headache. But later on, I also looked at another piece of land, which was a facility that was used for animal research. Now, I can tell you that when I went into that animal research facility, I got a headache that was far worse than you get in a nuclear
plant. Okay, interesting. Yeah.
It's, you know, the kind of experimentation that is involved in this and the safety issues. I mean, actually, there are two kind of forces that are at work in us. There are constructive forces, like command and control forces in our physiology. And then there are destructive forces, which try and get rid of pathogens and invading viruses and bacteria and all kinds of things like that. Well, gene editing is based firmly on the destructive side of this. Gene editing involves cutting and snipping, which is the procedures that are involved in the physiology and with these viruses and bacteria. They're not constructive. Yeah, medicine should be constructive, not destructive. That's why it's inherently dangerous. And we should be investing in different kinds of things. I'm watching the Tour de France at the moment, which is fascinating. But the performance of the riders is far, far greater than anything that they've seen before. And the reason is that there is a huge focus on research on nutrition.
Yeah. Gary Moller told us about that.
Well, they've started focusing on it. And they get fed fresh herbs. You know, these people who go on these 200-mile bike rides for sort of 21 days on end.
Yeah.
They have fresh herbs and all kinds of nutrition. And they put that down to these, they're breaking all the records. Now, this is the kind of research that we should be doing. We've got all kinds of herbs and dietary you know, kind of adjustments, and they individualize it as well, so that if a person has a little bit less
tweak
of
it film.
So if you want to create a Superman, you don't cut their genes about, because you're going to create a super cripple. You go through the accepted channels, which is through the human gut, and you can feed things that have intelligence and information in them that the body can utilize to really perform fantastically and have good health.
Okay, so I didn't think we'd ever be at war with the men in white coats, but we are, right? We're kind of in a war in a way. So can you see any light at the end of the tunnel, Guy? Public needs to wake up big time. Many think this is really cool, you know, big time. What do we do?
Well, they're misinformed, aren't they? And we have to keep speaking up. And I was talking to a person I hadn't seen for a long time the other day, and we were chatting, and he said, "What are you doing now? You're retired." And I said, "Oh, I'm writing about biotechnology safety." And he closed the conversation down. He said, "Oh, that's way beyond my pay grade." So so the public haven't been informed. They've just been simply told that this is a marvel.
Yeah.
And so we have to really challenge the change in science that has occurred during the pandemic, because in our country, the whole public aspect of science has been shut down. So, you know, for 400 years, science has been an open source system where you get debate and you get competing ideas, and experimentation settles everything. And instead, it has become bastardized to be, you know, science has become a financial instrument, an instrument of status, and an instrument of, you know, government overreach, really. That was the transformation that occurred during the pandemic, when we were told to shut up and do what we were told. That we have to challenge.
You've done a couple of pieces that I've read this week, What Has Become of Our Country, and A Message from New Zealand for the World. And there are sort of bits in both that kind of want to ask you about. So let's clarify, when you're talking about this mRNA vaccine development here, that involves our universities, I take it.
It does. The University of Otago, University of Auckland, University of Victoria and Wellington. And they're on board. You know, a lot of the funding of universities, they see it coming from biotechnology. And what they want to do is they want to spin off companies, commercial companies that make them more money. But particularly, they've got the handout for the government funding. And, you know, Maligan Institute. And there are a lot of people in this. And they want to feather their nest. They want to further their ideas, further the experiments that they're allowed to undertake.
Sounds like greed.
Well,
you're describing greed.
And take off the restrictions. That's what deregulation is all about. So all the safety. I mean, look, drug, you know, long-term testing of vaccines is there for a reason.
Yeah.
It's, you know, testing of drugs long-term again. It's there for an obvious, very obvious reason. There have been some frightful mistakes. The thalidomide springs to mind.
Yeah, it's not as if there are any precedents. You don't have to look far at all. This is the thing. All right, and where are we at with excess deaths? I've been curious to get a handle on that, you know, of late. Can you update us there?
It's still just going on. If you take the period 2023 to the first 16 weeks of 2024, there have been a total of 6,300 excess deaths above the long-term trend. So that's unexpected deaths. And it's continuing that's about 15% above the long-term trend. And it's continuing into 2024. So if you just look at the first 16 weeks of 2024, we're up about 14%, which is, you know, within the margin of error, about the same. So that's about 80 deaths a week that were unexpected. Now that's 80 people.
I know.
These are not statistics. These are people who are dying. And what are they dying of? Well, the indications are that cancer and heart disease, neurological disease are the things that are complicating the situation and boosting the number of deaths.
Seems to me there's been an uptick. That's so anecdotal from me, but I'm noticing more news stories. I'm hearing of more people that I either know of or know, and it seems to be increasing is my perception.
Well, what's extraordinary is that this is affecting people of all ages. So you see these...
And that's the other thing, yeah.
You see these tragic stories in the press, people passing away before their time. Mm. No real explanation being offered. I can't believe that the mainstream media here has just not reported anything. I mean, goodness, even in the UK, there have been some papers that have taken this up. The Daily Mail has taken up the issue. The Express has taken up the issue. The Telegraph has taken up the issue. I mean, sometimes they cover both sides of the issue, but they've not ducked on it. But there is this sort of political push to not say anything about the dangers of mRNA vaccination and the failure of it. I mean, but that's extraordinary. I mean, the announcement from the University of Auckland announcing that they'd be given a lot of money to develop our own homegrown mRNA vaccines, they say, you know, how marvelous it is that this COVID vaccine came along and was 95% effective.
Oh, what a load of crap.
What on earth do they mean 95% effective?
I had a woman on the phone the other day, another real world experience, for one of the utilities. I was told that I needed to advise them if anyone was in the house with COVID before one of their agents, let's say, could come around. Then I asked if I would have to do the same if anyone was in the house with the flu, you know, the flu. No, you don't have to do that if they have the flu. I thought, okay. Then I boldly asked, came right out and asked it. Bold question on the phone. How many times have you had COVID? 5 times.
Yeah.
5 times. And I asked the person, do you think that's a little unusual? And there was a big, long pause. And I can assume that they had done the thing. And 5 times, safe and effective? What? It blew my mind.
Yeah.
Imagine getting the flu 5 times in a row.
Yeah. And why is that? It's because of vaccine-induced immune deficiency, which is IgG4 phenomenon. And people are experiencing it, but they're looking the other way. And still getting more shots. We had a friend of ours the other day who, when I say a friend,
really?
A former acquaintance, who had very bad case of COVID. And their comment was, well, thank goodness I'd had my booster shot 8 days before. Goodness knows what would have happened if I hadn't. Well, then none of that makes sense. If you look at the research, it's clear that the vaccination is actually setting you up to get COVID.
The best one I've ever heard is someone told me, we shielded you.
Oh, yes, we shielded you.
Well, thanks a lot. I mean, that's same sort of thinking, really, eh? So,
well, talking about Trump has started talking, you know, he was the one who did the whole vaccine, warp speed.
That's a problem for me, I got to say.
He started saying that the vaccine didn't work. He's been public saying it.
I missed that. All right. All right, anything more to say? As I say, we didn't have that much time, and there's so much in this. I hope we got the main points across, but we're coming to a very important point, decision time here on GMO or no GMO. It sounds like we're really
at
that point.
And, you know, what's at stake is our whole agricultural industry. It's our whole economy, for goodness sake. Most of our economy is at stake because I can tell you, having worked in the industry, that people do not want genetically altered food. The only way the government can get around that is by refusing to label it. If they do that, no one will know. Well, that is that going to be a part of deregulation? I don't know. But our trading partners will know. People buy our food because we have this clean, green reputation. Changing that to genetically engineered agriculture, which hasn't worked overseas, is going to kill us. But why is it happening? Because America, our trading partners, are pressuring us to do this because they hold the patents.
Well, whatever happened to giving someone the finger?
Yeah. We used to do that, didn't we?
Well, I think we did. Maybe it just looked like we did.
Well, Longy did it.
Yeah, but we still kept that relationship. There was something was worked out there, but there was a public face of it. I don't know. That's history now. But this is being imposed on us. Are we a country or not? Are we a sovereign nation, a people or not? I think this is really fundamental decision time.
It is a fundamental decision. It's a fundamental decision in a very strange world, isn't it?
It is.
People are, entering into proxy wars and, all kinds of things around the world and trading and economic agreements, which are not in the interest of people. And you have to decide what sort of path you're going to tread in this world. You can't just latch on to the man with the biggest bomb. No way.
Yeah. All right. Catch up with what Guy Hatchard has to say at guyhatchard.com. Guy, great to have you back on the program. Thank you.
Great to be here, Paul.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.